What would happen if you began to see your most difficult circumstance as a friend rather than an enemy? And I'm probably, you're thinking, Ingram, are you smoking something? This problem in my life is anything but a friend. Well, I don't know what kind of problem you have, but let me tell you this. If you will give me the next 20 minutes, and if you will listen carefully and be open to what God would say, you might find out that what you're facing right now might be a blessing instead of a curse, and God will use it for your long-term good.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is a daily international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues his series, Keep Pressing Ahead, by revealing five of the most likely sources of our adversity. He's not going to leave us there, though. He's also going to explain right from Scripture how God equips us to handle each of those circumstances when we're in them. And just before we jump in, let me encourage you to try using Chip's message notes while you listen. They've got this outline and all his Scripture references to help you follow along. And to do that, just go to the Broadcasts tab at livingontheedge.org or tap Fill in Notes on the app. Well, now here's Chip with part two of his message, Facing Adversity, from Nehemiah chapter 4.
I remember reading a book recently by a fellow named Oz Hillman, who was an executive in the Dallas area, I think at the time, or Atlanta, and had an advertising business and was making millions of dollars and living in a big estate and had everything that you'd think and was a very public Christian businessman. And within about 6 months, everything in his life went upside down. Business, home, marriage, one of his kids, everything. And he wrote in his book, adversity changes us. Adversity is the crucible that melts down the old us. Adversity is the hammer that shapes the new us. See, if you unconsciously or consciously are just trying to figure out, how do I get through it? I just got to get through it. Or how do I avoid it? Or how do I arrange my life so I never have to face it? How do I stay comfortable? I read a quote in my research by someone who said, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. That's where life begins. And yet most of us spend all of our energy, okay, how do I create this world where, you know, security here, this here, this here, every relationship, control this, do that. See, adversity is normal, it's expected, it's purposeful, and it's powerful. Peter would write after being persecuted in chapter 5, verse 10, after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself confirm, perfect, strengthen, and establish you. See, it's not only purposeful, God wants to transform your life through adversity. But it's powerful. You meet someone that has confidence and character. You meet people that have been married for a long time and there's a richness to the relationship. You meet people that have been through hard times and love deeply. I will tell you what, they've suffered much. They didn't opt out. They didn't give up. An awful lot of marriages that stopped at 5 or 7 or 11 or often at 20, 25 years when the empty nest hits, God had this awesome golden years and great plan for them. They opted out. It got hard. Well, she just cares about the kids. All he cared about was his career. I don't feel loved anymore. I went on Facebook and I found a friend from high school. Good luck, sweetie. Good luck, hunkaroo. It ain't what it was, and you aren't what you were, and what you're looking for is identity and escape clause. There's difficult, painful things that you must overcome in every season. In seasons of singleness, of early marriage, of with kids or without kids, or with infertility or in jobs, and God wants to use every single one of them as you don't bail out to confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And the kind of people that you rub up against that you think, someday I'd like to be like him. Someday I'd like to be like her. I will tell you what, they just hung tough. They trusted God. Finally, it's temporary. This is good news. I mean, this is a man who was beaten 3 times within an inch of his life. This is a man that took the 39 lashes. This is a guy that writes all these letters about joy from prison. Right? This is the Apostle Paul. And you say, Paul, what kind of perspective did you have? How did you get your arms around this? He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outward man is decaying, or we lose our house, or lose our job, or someone walks out on us, or you're not married. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look at the things which are seen, but not at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You get it? See what he's saying? See, at some point in time, you either believe that the now is all there is and you'll manipulate and maneuver and try to do life inside just the now, and it doesn't work out for anyone. Or you understand there's a far, far bigger eternal picture and you'll live in the now in light of the forever. And that's why people can have joy, not always happy with happy circumstances, but joy in the midst of very difficult things. Sometimes when I'm preparing and working through things, and by the way, I've learned so much. I mean, the last few weeks of studying, I've just learned a bunch, and I don't know about you, but there's a lot of verses here, and if you look at the next page, there's even more verses, so lighten up. I'm not going to try and cover it all. I'm tempted. I mean, I want to, but I won't. But sometimes I just stop and I say, God, there's so many verses. Would you help me take everything that I'm learning and maybe put it in one sentence? Maybe just one sentence so I could get my arms around it. Because what I've given you all so far, some of you, I'm watching your eyes and, you know, the Spirit of God is, oh yeah, you know what I need? A little tipping point of inspiration that says I need to look at adversity differently. It's going to last a few hours through this afternoon, and I will tell you it will not compete with your emails tomorrow morning. The only way that you'll think biblically and not have all those lies is if some of you say, you know something? Okay, I don't think of adversity as being normal, expected, purposeful, powerful, or temporary. I'm going to write, adversity is normal. And then I'm going to open my Bible, and then I'm going to write on a card or 3x5 card that verse out. And then I'm going to read that at night. I'm not even going to try and memorize it. And I'm going to pray it back to God. And I'm going to do that for all five of those. And I'll have five cards. And I'll tell you, you do that for 2 or 3 weeks and you come back and talk to me. You'll start filtering everything that goes through your world completely differently. Because instead of, oh, this is unfair and what a bummer. And I guess I'm a failure. And am I being punished? You know what? You'll start thinking, this is normal. It's hard, but it's normal. It's purposeful. Then you'll start thinking, so I wonder what God wants to do. I guess if I'm to endure it, it produces proven character. In other words, as I endure, instead of God changing out there, he changes me. I'm actually becoming more patient. I'm becoming more loving. I'm becoming more kind. Wow, that gives me hope. And as that gives me hope, oh, the Spirit of God is really real. I'm not playing this game of trying hard to be a good Christian. This is supernatural. Wow, thank you, God. Here's how I want to think about adversity the rest of my life. Adversity is the uninvited, unwanted friend in the hands of an all-knowing God. See, don't get me wrong. He's uninvited and he's unwanted, so I don't like it. I'm going to be honest about that. But he's a friend. Adversity is not your enemy. In the hands of an all-knowing God whose purpose is to wean us of our self-dependency and pride, usher us into deeper intimacy with Jesus, and redirect our paths to ensure our greatest good and his greatest glory. And he does that as we learn to trust him. All of this ends up being about faith. As we learn to trust God's character and God's word in all things, for all things, and through all things. And so I'm either going to look at and filter this way, or this is an unwanted friend entering my life right now. And doesn't mean other people haven't sinned, doesn't mean other people haven't messed up, doesn't mean that sometimes I bring it on myself. But when I'm in the midst of it, I can either, oh, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Or I can say, okay, this is where I'm at. I've asked God to forgive me. He's forgiven me. But here's my situation. An all-knowing God in the midst of my pain is going to wean me from my pride, and I'm going to own this and my self-dependency. And as I, like Jesus, with loud cries and tears, cry out to him, he's going to develop an intimacy with him, probably deeper than I've ever had before. And here's the amazing thing. You think adversity is so bad? If you would look in the rearview mirror of your life, often it was adversity that was, oh, I broke up with that girl. Wow, I'm married to this other one for like 32 years. It's been really good. I'm sure glad I had a little adversity there. Or I was going to go this way, and I was going to do this job, and I was going to major in this, and then adversity, oh, I didn't get accepted. Oh, it was terrible. And, oh, so I took this job, and oh my, I would have never chosen it for myself. Right? Couldn't we tell stories like that? Couldn't adversity be one of the kindest, best things? You know why? Because God wants what's best for you, not what you want. If you got everything you want, you'd have a miserable life because you don't know what's best for you. You just know what everyone says is best for you. Well, let's talk now about the journey that we're going to go on. And I'll just give you a little overview of our friend Nehemiah. And he is one of my heroes. He's one of my heroes, one, because I didn't grow up as a Christian. And second, because he's not a religious guy. What I mean by that, you know, every time someone shows up and they're a prophet or they're a priest or they're a preacher, I don't know about you, but I feel like, well, I mean, they must get extra grace. I'm sure they do. We do. But whenever I find like a regular guy making a big difference, you know, like a business guy or just a regular lady or a servant girl, and God changes the world through them, it gives me just a lot of hope, like maybe this is for all of us regular people. And so what I did is I took Nehemiah and I said, we need to learn to handle adversity the way Nehemiah does. And what I've laid out is a chart that I've been studying. And what I want you to observe is that the adversity in his life comes for five different reasons. I mean, in chapter 4, terrible things happen because he obeys. In chapter 5, terrible things happen because other people disobey. In chapter 6, terrible, difficult things happen because he has the courage to lead and he gets attacked. There's spiritual warfare. In chapter 7, there's just negative circumstances. No one did anything wrong. They just don't have any people, don't have any money, and they can't do it. Then what are we going to do? And then in chapter 8, the big problem is, you know what? Because the nation disobeyed, God's discipline came in, and they find themselves in a situation. And then you notice that I said, here's Nehemiah's response to each one of those. I put that in your chart. And then just for fun, I put our typical response so that you could compare them. And then you'll notice that I put a New Testament parallel. Each one of these things, they're at an adversity in his life. There's a New Testament very specific parallel of what will happen in our lives. But the theme of all of them, if you go down through the chart, is the timeless truth. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the timeless truth. But that's true of your adversity. I don't know what you're going through. God does. I don't know what you're feeling, but I've had those feelings. Jesus had those feelings. He wanted to give up. He wanted to opt out. He wanted to quit. In fact, he even asked the Father if he could quit. Remember his very last prayer? And this is a loose translation, but it went something like this. If there's a plan B up there that we didn't think about, let's go with that right now. Because I don't want to be separated from you, and I don't want to go through that suffering. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. What's he saying? I'm going to press ahead. What he says to the Father is, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can make it through anything with your help and strength. I came across a little motto, if you will, that has really helped me. In fact, I injured something, and so I haven't been able to work out. And my history has been, I like to work out, and so I've never had much problem being motivated, but I got injured, and so I've not done it for a while like I want to. And now, maybe some of you can identify, I'm trying to get back with it, and like my motivation is like gone. You know, I'm going to, and then I don't do it. I'm going to, and I don't do it. I'm sure. Do any of you have these issues, like with food? Okay, you know, I'm going to, and so finally I decided I'll do it first thing. I'm going to roll out of bed, and, you know, whether it's 5 or 5:30 or a little before, I'm going to do it first. I mean, the other morning, I'm just, like I did, so, you know, how when you start, like, okay, 4 days in a row, you know, way to go. And then this is the second week, and I've missed a couple of days, and for really good reasons that I made excuses about. And so this was like, you know how you feel like I'm either going to stay on track or I'm going to just plummet again. And I'm laying in bed and like, you know, it's even earlier than normal. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to do that. And then I still remember, because I'm studying all this, right? I always get a little advanced because I study this before I give it to you. And I remember laying in bed thinking, I just can't get up. And this came to my mind. I can't, but you can. And I lay in bed and I just pray to Father. Father, because some specific disciplines, there's a domino effect in other areas of your life. When I'm disciplined here, my prayer life's more disciplined. When I'm disciplined here, my eating's more disciplined. When I'm disciplined here, my tongue is more disciplined. So this wasn't just trying to get in shape. I realized my will was getting weak in terms of obedience. And so I laid in bed. I said, okay, Lord Jesus, I can't, but you can through me. Will you give me the grace? I'm going to put my foot on the ground, and I'm going to go put on my shoes. And I did, and it worked out, and it was just, whew. For many of you, that's, I can't stay in this marriage another day. I can't, but you can. I can't handle this depression one more day. I can't, but you can. I can't stand being single one more day. I can't, but you can. I can't go on without the job or with the I can't. And so here's what I like. It's a little motto I came across. It says, I can't. He never said I could. He can. He always said he would. If you don't get any, you know, that takes all the truth and it bundles it for you in a way that I think is sort of a to-go package. It'll really help you. If you apply that and remember that, it'll really help you. He said, I can't. He, Jesus, never said I could. He can. He always said he would. The last portion is an assignment. I'm not going to go through the passages, but here's what I need. You got to understand, if you do not discern the source or sources, because often there are more than one. If you do not biblically, clearly, Holy Spirit-led discern the source of your adversity, the chances are you will respond in a way that will hinder your growth and endurance instead of grow through it. And so what I've done at the very bottom of the page is I've given you, there may be more, but these are at least the five major causes of adversity in believers' lives. And then I'm going to fill in the response. And again, there's some of you that if you're going through a hard time, I will tell you, you'll run to here. You don't get strength from God hearing other people talk. You get strength from God when your nose gets in God's word with a heart that's hurting and says, oh God, help me. And he'll speak to you. David would say, if your word had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. You don't get strength listening to people. You get strength when the word of God, fresh off the page of the Holy Spirit, does something in your heart and it gives you the strength to persevere. Physical exhaustion is one reason for adversity. The stories of Elijah. The response is rest. When I get physically exhausted, I often assume I've sinned. I ask God to explore my heart. What have I done wrong? And usually a good friend or my wife says, Chip, you did 11 messages in 4 days. You did 2 videos and wrote a chapter of a book and met with 4 people. What part of being tired don't you understand? Just go to bed. Eat a good meal. Don't evaluate. The second reason is consequences of sin. You repent. You blow it. I blow it. You got a problem. You got a problem because God won't be mocked. When I sin and you sin, it reaps corruption. Problems in my life, I need to repent. Third cause is spiritual warfare. There's times where there's actual demonic influence that often comes in these other times, but is trying to thwart God's purpose in your life. You have to fight. You don't rest and you don't run. The fourth opportunity, I guess I would call it that, is God's discipline. There's times where he's preparing you for the next big season of fruit. It's much like Jesus talked about where he does pruning. And what you need to do there is you need to submit. There's times he'll come into your life and say, everyone else, it's okay for them to do. I don't want you to do this thing anymore. Or I want you to do this thing. You know, why does I? And he'll say, because I said so and I'm your father. He's preparing you. He's pruning you. You need to hear his voice and submit. And finally, the last is negative circumstances. And you endure. Actually, you joyfully endure.
I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'll tell you one thing. I wish I could sit down right now at a little coffee shop, look you right in the eye and say, tell me, where are you struggling? Where are you hurting? What's the really big issue that's facing you? And when we begin to identify that adversity, then I think the very next thing I would say is not just consider it all joy. You know, we ended the program with the with that classic James chapter 1, you know, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing by experience that the testing of your faith is going to produce endurance and that you let endurance have its perfecting or maturing result so that you don't lack anything. I mean, I think we get the idea that we need to not give in, not give up, hang in there. God's going to work. But here's what I've noticed. If you don't identify why you have the adversity, what's the cause of adversity, your response may not be in keeping with God's purposes for your life. So often, you know, let me just review some of the causes of adversity. Physical exhaustion. I mean, you know, you've got Elijah there. He's wiped out. He doesn't need to pray more. He needs to sleep. He needs to eat. He needs to rest. Or the second, consequences of sin. You know, I don't need to endure. I need to repent. I mean, there's times where I've just done things that are wrong or I've said things that are wrong and things are going really south. Well, I don't need to endure. I need to go apologize to that person. I need to tell God I'm sorry. I need to do a 180. You get what I'm saying? So the causes were physical exhaustion, the consequences of sin. The third one here is spiritual warfare. Could it be? I mean, obviously, there's not a demon behind every bush, but could it be that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do? You've taken steps in your marriage, or you're breaking an addiction, or, I mean, you are doing what God wants you to do, and the enemy is pushing back strong. And the adversity really isn't something bad. It's the evidence that you're exactly on the right track. Ask God. He'll show you. Lord, will you show me the cause of my adversity? Or at other times, you know, you may find yourself in a season of real fruitfulness and you go through and say, hey, I'm not tired. I've searched my heart. You know, I don't think there's sin. I don't think it's spiritual warfare. You know, there are times when God's pruning you. You haven't done anything wrong. You're one of his special daughters, his special sons. And he's just going to do some disciplining to bring a new level of dependency in your heart and your life that will produce more fruit than you ever imagined.
Chip will be right back, but just quickly, this message, Facing Adversity, is from his series, Keep Pressing Ahead. Using key chapters from the book of Nehemiah, Chip explains the truth about adversity, where it comes from, what to do when it threatens to bring you down, and then how to keep pressing ahead, no matter what. Scripture calls Christians overcomers, but for many of us, that just sounds like religious talk. Life's been too hard or too painful, and we don't see how it's possible to rise above our circumstances. Well, Chip reminds us, with God, nothing is impossible. Whether your adversity comes from circumstances, people, or even yourself, with this series, you'll be encouraged to remember there's always hope. To check out your resource options for Keep Pressing Ahead, just go to livingontheedge.org or tap Special Offers. Discounts are available for a limited time.
As we close today's program, I want to give you just a very quick and important reminder. Listening to the teaching that you got today, I am absolutely certain, because a lot of us are going through adversity and difficulty. And if you're like Nehemiah, sometimes it's because you're doing exactly the right thing. 2 days from now, probably most of what you heard and what God wanted to help you with, you will have forgotten. Can I make a suggestion? Go to the website and download the notes, absolutely free, livingontheedge.org, and it's Keep Pressing Ahead. That's the series. Even better, download the MP3s or get the CDs and stick them in your car and listen to the whole series, and you'll find God can help you press ahead, even in the midst of great difficulty.
You'll find the message notes Chip just mentioned in a couple of places. Online, just go to livingontheedge.org and click on the Broadcasts tab. App listeners will find them by tapping Fill in Notes. The chart on Nehemiah that Chip's using throughout this series, all of his scripture references, and much more are there to help you get the most out of each message. Well, be sure to join us next time as Chip continues Keep Pressing Ahead. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.